Court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to do our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers for the opening prayer? Thank you, sir.
Yep. Gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful day. We ask you to be with each one of these men representing our county on this court today, Lord, and the decisions that have to be made, and the citizens that are coming before it, Lord. Father, we ask you to guide and protect us as we journey through this day. We pray for peace in our world and our nation, Lord, that we can have harmony. And ask you to guide and protect us. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen.
Amen. Amen. You'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Reflect that all members of court are present today. And commissioners, we need a motion to approve our court agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, under proclamations and resolutions, American Payroll Association. Stephanie here today? Stephanie, did you want to read that resolution or present that? Commissioners, this is a resolution that we've received from the American Payroll Association. We've done this since 2011. It's kind of like honoring the 911 individuals. Anybody interested in looking at the facts on that could find that. Stephanie, if you want to present it or read it or whatever you'd like to do with it.
Okay. Whereas the American Payroll Association and its 22,000 members have launched a nationwide public awareness campaign that pays tribute to the more than 156 million people who work in the United States and the payroll professionals who support the American system by paying wages, reporting worker earnings, and withholding federal employment taxes. And whereas payroll professionals in Montgomery County play a key role in maintaining the economic health of Montgomery County, Texas, carrying out such diverse tasks as paying into the unemployment insurance system, providing information for child support enforcement, and carrying out tax withholding reporting and depositing. And whereas payroll departments collectively spend more than $15 billion annually compiling with a myriad of federal, state, wage, and tax laws. And whereas payroll professionals play an increasingly important role in ensuring the economic security of American families by helping to identify non-custodial parents and making sure they comply with their child support mandates. And whereas payroll professionals meet regularly with federal and state officials to discuss both improving compliance with government procedures and how compliance can be achieved at less cost to both government and business. Whereas the week in which Labor Day falls has been proclaimed National Payroll Week. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby support the efforts of the people who work in Montgomery County and of the payroll profession and proclaims the first full week of September 2017 as National Payroll Week in Montgomery County, Texas.
Good. I move.
Second.
Hi. Questions or comments? Just want to point out, Commissioners, that that is from the Houston chapter of the American Payroll Association.
Right.
Again, since
it's a nationwide effort just to recognize those in the industry.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
All
you.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Under County Clerk, Commissioners, we need a motion to approve the minutes of our regular session dated August the 8th.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated August the 8th, our public hearing from August the 8th.
Move.
As submitted.
Take it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, under consent, I've had a request to move one item to the open agenda, item M2 on page 9 under County Attorneys. That's the only item that I have on the agenda that... I know that needs to be moved forward unless there's something else you guys want to bring forward. Other than that, would entertain a motion on the consent agenda.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now, item M2, we'll go ahead and take that one. Amy, you want to address that?
Sure. On M2, consider and approve the revisions to section of the Montgomery County Code of Ethics that require certain steps to be taken after an ethics violation to prevent future violations and noncompliance. So if you'll recall, there were several items that we were including in our Code of Ethics to meet certain grant and TxDOT standards, and this is one of those. And basically the substantive change says that if we're found to have a violation, then we're going to go back and we're going to look to take measures to see that another violation doesn't occur. Do we need additional training? Do we need to revisit the policy? What can we do to make sure that future violations don't occur? And so that's the change to the code that we're asking the court to approve today. With that change, we've also received word from TxDOT that then the Sheriff's Office in Montgomery County will be eligible to receive county or TxDOT grants.
Okay.
So
I move on M2.
In a second, any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Amy. Okay. Commissioners, Tammy McRae has asked that we move item 19 forward. Unless there's an objection, I'd like to go ahead and bring item 19.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Item 19A is consider and take appropriate action on a proposed tax abatement agreement. This agreement is with Bauer Manufacturing, and we have two representatives here from Bauer this morning, the CFO and the CEO, Mr. Russell Warner and Wolfgang Punnell, and we appreciate them being here. They're here to answer any questions you may have. This tax abatement agreement is a Category B, and it is a six-year agreement as a Category B. The total project is approximately almost $42 million. It is they would construct a 57,000, just over 57,000 assembly building, and the abatement would actually be for just over $4.4 million, leaving $37.4 million taxable. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Where
was
this located?
Something. I'm sorry?
Where?
It's out at the industrial park.
Bauer moved in, what, 10 years ago?
Yes, and it's an expansion.
And we're very, very pleased that you've chosen Montgomery to make those additions. And glad you're staying here. Good partner.
Meets our guidelines?
So how many,
they meet all the guidelines.
Do we know how many additional employees?
Yes, they will bring in, they're going to retain 150 employees and bring in 25 new jobs. Just the 25 new jobs will have an annual payroll of $410,000.
BD or Tammy, can you explain just quickly why we can't put the name of the company on the agenda and some of this information in the backup? I've been asked several times why it's kept private until
right.
court.
Sure. Yeah.
Let me address that, Commissioner. Under the property tax or under the tax code, certain matters of a company seeking a tax abatement are to be kept confidential until the court acts upon the tax abatement. And now it does not, and I will agree, it does not say everything about the company is confidential. When you have certain things such as descriptions of their processes, descriptions of their manufacturing, sometimes the names even can tell people who is applying for a tax abatement and the processes themselves. So out of an abundance of caution, my policy has always been if things are to be kept confidential, you keep everything confidential, and then you don't have to decide what is confidential or not. So it's out of an abundance of caution and trying to meet the provisions of the tax code.
Okay. Thank you.
I move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you
guys for coming this morning.
Okay, our next item is item 10, citizens' comment. For those citizens that would like to address the court on an item that is on today's agenda, to read this brief comment. We will now invite the public to address the court on items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comments before beginning your remarks, and public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. It is not the intention of Montgomery County Commissioners Court to provide a public forum for the demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intention of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty or integrity of the court as a body or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane, insulting, or threatening language directed to the court or members of the court will not be tolerated. And if this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and or removal from the commissioner's courtroom. I would remind you that the Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised today in public comment. And so there are a number of people that have signed up today to speak on items on the agenda. We will be restricted to 3 minutes. First one is Mr. Todd Galbraith.
Thank you. My name is Todd Galbraith. I'm in Precinct 3. And I wanted to just add my voice to one of the agenda items today as a private citizen and a volunteer at the animal shelter. About 3 months ago, I walked in, attracted by an ad, and decided to show up and volunteer. And ever since then, I've probably volunteered for about 25 hours, 30 hours since that time. And during that time, everything that I've seen has been just magical. The attitude of the staff and the myriad of volunteers and the other people that work there, to see the just the good work that they do for these animals, and what they accomplish with the resources they have is just a very heartening thing to see. And so I just wanted to thank the county for their support of this very worthwhile endeavor.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Next, we have Troy Itza.
Judge Doyle, Commissioners, good morning. Precinct 3, Troy Itza, good to see you again. Wanted to update you on our events from last weekend. I'm probably going to steal a little bit of thunder, but we had a fantastic Clear the Shelter Day. If you didn't get to see it, we did get 200 animals adopted on that Saturday between 11 a.m. and about 5:30 p.m. Crazy day. We had about 150 people lined up. So I want to say thank you for your support. And tell Director Aaron, Assistant Director Mark, thank you for the fantastic effort that they've put in, and for all the staff and volunteers that showed up. We had a fantastic day. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Lynn O'Sullivan.
Good morning, Lynn O'Sullivan, Precinct 3. I'm here in support of the request that the animal shelter has put for the remaining budget items. They've done a very good job of negotiating soft costs, which have absolutely zero value to the taxpayer. They've gotten the cost of the x-ray machine down to the hard cost, and as a banker, I appreciate that effort. And I'm just supporting the things that are up there for you guys to vote on today. The animal shelter needs those things, and your support, again, is greatly appreciated for everything that is being done at the animal shelter, which is saving animals. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Russell.
Good morning, Commissioners and Judge Doyle. I am in Precinct 2. I am a precinct chair in 74. I'm coming to you today because Egypt Lane needs some repair work. I commented on Charlie Riley's Facebook page only to be blocked this last week from his page just for commenting that the road needs repair. And I figured I would call and give my name, and I figured that would go over by a lead balloon since even being on Facebook gets blocked. So I decided to come publicly and address you, Commissioner Riley, that Egypt Lane needs some repair work. There's lots of potholes, and it's been that way for a while. Thank you.
Yalik, we have a toll road authority meeting later. Did you want to comment at that time? We have a toll road authority meeting later. Did you want to comment at that time?
I'll get it over with right now, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Thanks. My name is Eric Yalick. I'm from Precinct 3. I'm going to give the golden hammer today to Judge Doyle and Commissioner Riley for the proposed $405,000 on an engineering study to the same company that did an identical study previously. They did a poor job the first time. We're now paying for them to update the study, and we're paying for this study actually more than the first time. Although there is no competitive bidding under 2254.003 of the Texas Government Code, contracts should be a fair and reasonable price. And so I asked three different civil engineers to look at the scope of work, and all three independently gave me prices of $85,000 or less. You might ask, why would CDM Smith overcharge us? Well, the good news about CDM Smith is that they're headed in the right direction. In July of 2017, quite a long time ago, CDM Smith agreed to pay around $4 million, the profit that it earned from the fake service invoices used in generating cash to bribe government officials to the United States Treasury. The investigations by the fraud section of the Criminal Division of the United States Department of Justice into bribery were actually closed after CDM Smith agreed to disgorge the $4 million well over a month ago. CDM Smith has also been sanctioned by the World Bank for failing to disclose a subcontract on a project in Vietnam, and they were conditionally debarred by the World Bank from any IMF and World Bank projects for a year and a half. Now, there's better news. It was actually over 3 weeks ago that the Indian government Central Vigilance Commission, the anti-corruption apex organization in India, began their investigation along with the Indian National Highways Authority with respect to bribery and corruption charges against CDM Smith. Now, since those items are all well over 3 weeks ago, perhaps you should feel better that you're planning on awarding a $405,000 bloated contract to CDM Smith to do exactly the same work that they did 3 years ago and gave us a bad study the first time. Congratulations.
And that's about all right.
Good morning, Commissioners. Judge Bill O'Sullivan, Precinct 3. Recently, the court approved the county's involvement in the 249 toll road. The main reason given by the leadership of the court was we didn't want the state to take advantage and receive the proceeds of a toll road in Montgomery County. It is a stretch to call that statement just disingenuous. The facts are that we will issue revenue bonds. Those will take 20 to 30 years to pay off, which makes us merely a collector, not a participant in the venture. The facts are that the section where we are involved is less than 25% of the newly tolled road in Montgomery County. Finally, as I read about revenue bonds, it said that due to their nature, they couldn't be issued for the full value of the project. Therefore, somehow some 10, 15, or 20% of the project will be financed in a different way. We need to be told the county's involvement in that part of this deal. The alternative was having the state do it. If the state does not use bonds to build, the savings and interest charges for a 20-year bond at 3.5% would be $33 million, or $50 million for a 30-year bond. If bonds are used, then the state becomes the collector and pays for them over the next 20 to 30 years. We lose nothing. One other thing on this boondoggle. Once the road passes into Grimes County at Todd Mission, the state will no longer toll the road. From there, all the way to College Station, it will be free. What's going to pay for it? It will be the tolls collected by the state in Montgomery County. Grimes County must think that's hilarious. Because of this deceptive approach, the Republican Party Executive Committee overwhelmingly passed a motion to get a proposition placed on the ballot, which calls for any toll roads first be approved by referendum. This is an effort to let the voters speak as opposed to what just happened. In summary, reconsider being involved in 249. Let the state do it. Let the people vote to approve future toll roads. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Sullivan.
That's all the individuals that I had signed up to speak. Is there anyone that would like to address the court on an item on today's agenda? Mr. Wirtz.
Judge.
Yes.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. My name is John Wirtz, Montgomery County Precinct 2, GOP Precinct Chair 69, and Montgomery County Tea Party. On June 13th of this year, I and others came before you asking two questions about the 249 toll road. Number one, why did a majority of you agree to pay for a highway that TxDOT had already budgeted for? And number two, how could you justify paying construction costs of almost $80 million for only 3.5 miles of highway, which is over $20 million per mile? The American Road and Transportation Builders Association says urban thoroughfares like this should only cost $5 to $7 million a mile. That's about a $15 million a mile difference that we're paying for over the average, totaling $60 million, which Bill kind of alluded to. Where's that going to? I know you've been saying all along that you're going to get the money back from tolls, but what if you don't? It's going to take at least 20, 30 years, like Bill just said. The truth is, gentlemen, you'll be lucky to see $20 million. This is like securing a $1 million loan for a house worth only $300,000 and then hoping you don't lose your job in the economy like ours. It's debatable on whether or not a superhighway is even needed in that unpopulated southwest part of the county. Over the last 15 years, the need for roads but not realized because of poor planning has caused a project backlog of $1.5 billion, and that's just in South County alone. The first road bond of March 2015 failed before the voters because of the inclusion of the Woodlands Parkway extension, but later passed upon its removal. That's the way the process on projects of this magnitude should be handled, a vote by the people. As you might have heard just now from Bill, the County Executive Republican Party, about 35 of my precinct chair colleagues and I passed a non-binding referendum last Tuesday, giving us, the voters, a voice on whether or not we want to pursue huge projects like this. Do you gentlemen know what the vote was of those who were there? It was 34-1, just one nay, and that was by Jim Schultz, arguably the most liberal of all the precinct chairs. We hope if this eventually makes it to the ballot that we'll see what the voters think about this risky venture of taking on a project the state already agreed to pay for, and with our local taxpayer dollars, and spending four times as much as it's worth. Even more interesting is that it may also be reflected in your vote tally in the upcoming March election. Thank you.
Reed.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. Reagan Reed, Precinct 1, Republican Party Precinct Chair of Precinct 50. As I'm looking at the cost of this toll, I've often wondered why we're paying $73 million for a 3.6-mile stretch of road. And I think after seeing just an example, this particular study that we're doing twice and paying all this money for again, I think that's the answer, is that this project is government work at its finest, inefficiency, repetitiveness, and so I think that's what people are tired of in government right now. And if we were running this as a business, this kind of inefficiency would very quickly bankrupt the company. As would the fact that we're not going to make money off this road because it's in revenue bonds for a long period of time, as has already been stated. And so because people, I think, have lost confidence in this kind of governance, I think it's important that we take the case to the voters. If this toll is really as good of a business venture and as good of a project for the county as some of you say it is, then why should we be afraid to take this to the voters and make the case to the voters and have them decide on whether or not they want tolls in Montgomery County? This is a huge question we have before us, whether or not Montgomery County will be a toll county. And something of that magnitude should go to the voters. And so Because of that, and it's already been mentioned, myself and a number of other precinct chairs with the Republican Party passed a resolution calling for a referendum. Now, whether or not we have maybe the state party put that on the ballot, or perhaps there's a mechanism for you gentlemen to put that on the ballot, the Montgomery County Republican Party spoke very loudly and very clearly, and they sent a message that the party's not going to sit on the sidelines anymore and just watch what our elected officials are doing. We're going to take an active role in recommending policy and speaking out for conservative reforms at the local level. And the vote was so overwhelming, I think that's very much a bellwether for what people in all the precinct chairs' precincts believe and what the Republican Party themselves believes by passing such a clear mandate that this should go on the ballot and being in line also with the party platform, which is opposed to tolls, as is the Democrat Party platform. And so by supporting these toll roads, some of you are in direct violation of the principles and mandates of the Republican Party, and we have a procedure in place for dealing with elected officials who repeatedly violate the core values and platform of the Republican Party. It's called Rule 44. And if you gentlemen are not familiar, I suggest
Mr. Reed,
you look it up.
Time is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Anyone else that would like to address court this morning on an item on today's agenda? Okay, moving forward. Item 11A, consider and approve Montgomery County's prorate proportionate share of the expense payable to the Second Administrative Judicial Region of Texas for 2017-18, the amount of $62,955.46, and name a funding source. Phyllis, do you have a funding source you're recommending?
So what was recommended in your 2018 budget during the workshops was $50,000, and this has gone up, and so we just need y'all to be aware that we will be changing that budget before it's submitted, reducing contingency by the $12,000 and putting it into this line item.
Okay.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 12, forensics. Dr. Pineri.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 12A, approved transfer of $80,000 from 7102 salary other, with $50,000 allocated to 7441 contract services and $30,000 allocated to 7426 transportation. This movement of money will allow us to continue our current operations without any change to our budget.
What is the $30,000 for transportation?
That goes to our contract for the decedent transport.
Transporting bodies.
What is that annual cost, do you know?
This is a bad
year. I mean, $30,000 for 2 months, is that accurate or is that way high?
So July was probably our busiest month, actually ever in the history that the office has, and we spent $16,500 in decedent transport costs.
And we're moving them from wherever they expire to your facility?
Our facility, yes.
And that's the cost?
Yes. It's $250 per transport.
Oh, we're paying an outside vendor for that?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just thinking, if we're spending $10,000 to $15,000 a month, is that a service we should be doing ourselves instead of paying somebody to do that?
My experience with that is it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service. You have to have vehicles that are expensive. Unless our caseload goes up more than it already has, at this point this is the most economical option for the county.
Commissioner Clark volunteers to pitch in help.
He doesn't look very happy about that.
All right, I move.
Have a second.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Still trying to get over being volunteered. Again.
And then item 12B, consider and approve the purchase and name a funding source in the amount of $36,874 for a 2017 Tahoe to be used by the department, including the forensics medical legal death investigator on scenes.
Move.
Second.
Hello.
Gilbert, did you check on that? Okay. Questions or comments?
Name a funding source. is the name of funding.
Did we fund that out of the 2018 budget?
No, that was not on our budget.
Sir, that was something that Commissioner Nowak brought up after the budget workshop.
Yeah, contingency for this year.
That was last court.
Yeah, we'll do that contingency.
And good thing is we won't have to hear about this for 15 more years.
That may be the truck you ride in.
Maybe.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Sheriff.
I think I'll second for the record, by the way. I don't think we actually second after we named a funding source. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just for the record.
Morning.
Good morning.
We're looking for a public hearing. So is this one of those where you...
Okay, we need to recess the court for public hearing. Go ahead, Chair.
Okay. I ask that you conduct a public hearing on filing the application for the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Grant, also known as JAG program, for FY17, local solicitation through the U.S. Department of Justice, pursuant to public hearing notice published August 17, 2017. The grant's titled A Portable LED Information and Warning Signs Project, FY17, in the amount of $47,491.66. No matches required.
Is there anyone that would like to comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll adjourn our public hearing and reconvene court. You want action on that item today?
I'm not sure, sir.
I move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Information technology. Mr. Shirley.
Good morning, Judge, commissioners.
Morning, Mark.
Item 14A, consider and approve the following. Closed position 503-5512-3, System Administrator 3, and open 503-5528-1, Network and Operations Assistant Manager. Transfer all salary and benefit amounts to the new position effective 8/26/2017.
Can you explain what this is for?
Sir.
Can you explain what this is for?
Well, this was actually a budget year 2017 item where we put some people under him, but this title change never got booked. So we're just really...
Clean up work, no money moving.
Is something
no
HR?
Money moving, same budget.
Have y'all approved it?
We're talking about it. It's just the title change. The money was all exchanged back when. And
that money was moved last year.
Okay.
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Motion carries. Thank you, Marshall.
Marshall, when are we going to get this new technology in here so people can hear better and we don't have to stop? You're working on it?
We're meeting with the vendor tomorrow.
Good. Okay.
And we'll be moving forward.
Thanks.
Doc?
Absolutely. Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
How are you this morning?
I'd like you to approve the immediate funding for the four vehicles that were in equipment for them that was approved for our 2018 budget for immediate purchase.
We did this, I think, for everybody else last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are we doing, Phyllis, taking that out of contingency right now?
Yes, sir. We took it out of contingency in 17, and so in 18, budget, we'll sweep it from their budgets and put it in your 18 contingency.
Yeah, it's actually budgeted. I move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Motion carries. Gilbert, you want to address that real quickly? Can we, about how we want to try to do that moving forward on these vehicles?
It's on the agenda. Do you want to
do the agenda item?
Okay, well, let's wait. Well, yeah, we'll wait till you get to yours. Sorry about that. Constable Precinct 2.
Old age. Sitting in quick.
Morning, Judge, Commissioner. Please consider and approve removing vehicle allowance for position 5521.6010.1 for the remainder of the fiscal year 2017. Use prorated amount of $436.35 toward the purchase of a new fully equipped county vehicle. Please name a funding source for the remaining balance. And this will be effective 9/23/17.
The total amount for the vehicle equipment and coban is going to be $38,020.36.
And this is the program where we're getting off.
Pardon me?
This is the program where we're getting off of the car allowance and getting into a county car.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I move contingency.
Second.
Questions, just comments?
How many more do you have? Is this the how many more vehicles do you have that are need to come into the program?
Well, just to be, I have one vehicle that's donated by Buckaloo for the MAP program. I have two other county vehicles already, and this will be my third one, and the rest are more all car allowances, which is 10 or 11, I believe.
When's the, don't we have an expiration date on that, or when that's supposed to be done, or?
Is it 19, Amy?
I can't remember.
2019.
Okay.
We need to be working towards that.
Instead of coming all at one time, it's going to hit us hard if we don't.
Yes, sir.
Spread it out a little bit. Appreciate your hard work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, John.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, item 17, Constable Precinct 5.
Morning, Commissioners. Judge, we just want to consider and approve funding the immediate purchase of three vehicles and equipment for the positions, vehicles recommended for the 2018 budget. And please name a funding source.
Move.
Contingency.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Gone on North Houston Regional Airport. Mr. Brown.
I'd like to transfer $58,000 from position 6291-8914-1, Assistant Airport Director, and move that to position 6291-5529-1, Supervisor, Airport Ops and Maintenance, and return the remaining funds to the contingency. The effective date would be 8/26/17.
How much is that remaining?
About $15,000.
I move.
Do you just want to close that? Assistant
we could
director
just close that
position
out.
And sweep
yep.
the 15,000.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one we talked about where he's kind of
hired him in.
Custodial. I'm not a custodial.
It's really going to help because we're going to be able to bring in another boot on the ground. It'll be a working supervisor position. That's really going to help enhance the service out there too.
Okay. So
Commissioner,
Phyllis
you
want
to change your motion to close that position?
Assistant director.
Close that position of assistant director.
Yeah,
yeah it's yeah. what he just said. It's what I'm moving
on. He just transferred him. We're going to close that position.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll close it.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Elections.
Good morning.
Morning.
Item 20A, consider and approve an order to change Election Day polling locations.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Item 20B, consider and approve an order to consolidate the county election precincts for the November 7th, 2017 election.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? Are these basically the same consolidations we had in the last?
The essentially the same, except because of the local option election for the passage of the liquor election in JP4, we can't consolidate those precincts, but okay. Essentially the remainder is the same.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Ms. Harvey, I have a question. I have been asked if the court or a member of the court wanted to have an item discussed in court to be placed on the agenda. How does that work? Does the court have the authority to put a non-binding resolution on a referendum in November or May, or do we not? And if you don't know, you can come back next court
know.
And answer
I'll have
that,
to look at
research that.
That
with the county attorney and give us an answer.
I can look into
BD's
that. I know if it were
that, haven't you?
BD, would you mind coming up to the microphone for the people out in TV land?
Yes, at this point, based upon some prior research we had done on another question, and review of that recently, we don't feel that the county has the ability to do a non-binding referendum on a matter. It has to be an election that's authorized by the election code or the Constitution.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Harvey. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Thank you.
County Auditor.
During the budget workshops, there was discussion about creating a budget office, and the Commissioner's Court indicated a desire to fund that budget office at approximately $300,000. So I submitted to you, through the backup paperwork, a proposed budget that included a suggested salary for the department head and the two positions that we had talked about, and we based a lot of that on history of what had been in the budget office when the county last had one in 2008. We've also included a 10% increase in the supplies line from what it was in 2008, and we've included training to two conferences and one webinar for the staff that we felt would be appropriate that's offered for budget work that's offered by the Government Finance Officers Association, and the travel that would be required for that. We've also provided in the suggestion a copier lease that was based on what the copier that is leased by the County Auditor's Office is at this time. And so I just wanted to tell y'all about that and let y'all know and receive any feedback from you. This isn't a voting item, but it would be in your recommended budget that would come in the next couple of weeks. So I just wanted to receive some feedback from y'all to see if that was the direction you were looking to go. These are all things that you can amend throughout the year if you feel it's necessary.
I did speak. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I spoke to Ms. Shaw. She said that she should have her recommendation for salary in the next couple of days. She's waiting on one more piece of information to come, I think, from Harris County. So I know that the salary has not been finalized yet. So if we could incorporate Ms. Shaw's thoughts into that, that'd be great. And then, as far as the, I think, are you just trying to put some confines around how the $300,000 budget would be allocated?
Sure. And that deadline, we have to file it with the county clerk, is coming up very quickly. And so this was our last opportunity at a public hearing to be able to bring that to y'all. And so certainly we can get with Ms. Shaw and include anything that she receives. There just won't be an opportunity to bring it back to you gentlemen. Okay. And we must receive it in the next couple of days.
But you're basing that salary based on when Julaine was here back in 08?
We did, and we assumed if that position had stayed open, what that salary would have received in increases based on what the Commissioner's Court has given since that time.
Okay.
So that was the methodology that we used.
Okay.
Were there three people in that department back then?
There were four. There was a grants administrator, which is currently housed in the purchasing department.
Okay.
So that totals $301,080. So what you'll see in your budget document is the change go through contingency, that extra $1,080.
Okay. You don't need any action on this one today. This is just a report.
We do not, no, sir. But we will get with Doty, and if that information comes in time, we'll include that in this document and make the appropriate changes.
Okay. Good. Any other questions, commissioners? Okay. Animal shelter.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Troy kind of stole my thunder already on our adoption event, so I'll go into the agenda here. We're asking you to consider and approve the resolution and order authorizing the animal shelter to transfer funds between certain line items and its budget as needed to fund the operations, which I believe was previously discussed in other forums.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
We'd like you to consider and discuss approve the animal shelter's ability to recognize revenues monthly into line item 6331.7997 and use the revenue to fund the operations of the animal shelter for this to be effective in FY18.
Move.
You're on item C?
Yeah,
yes.
B.
We skipped over B. Let's go ahead and you have a motion on C. We have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's go back to item B.
B. Okay. We'll consider and discuss and approve the transfer of $95,000 from 6331.735732, a restricted line from the spay neuter program expense to 6331.7396, medical supplies.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
D, consider and approve allowing the animal shelter to apply for a spay neuter grant, which is from PetSmart Charities.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And then the last one, we have consider and discuss and authorize the release of the remaining funds of 606, of funds held back in fiscal year FY17. Animal shelter budget approved by the Commissioner's Court on September 6, 2016. That's motion 8. And if you guys all received the backup with all that.
Move.
Second.
Comments there, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Gilbert, I was trying to hurry you up there, Gilbert. Sorry about that.
Good morning.
I don't know if you wanted to address that during that process or
wait. Yes, sir. You want me to?
No, let's go ahead and go through it in order. But
First item is to award the Willis-Waukegan Road widening project. That vendor, as you have in your backup, is R.C. Smith, and the bid price is $1,168,122.83.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Item two is the architectural services for the record storage building, and that vendor is Harrison Kornberg, and you should have that backup.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And then the third item is the Long Street widening project.
Move.
And that is also R.C. Smith, and their bid price was $2,481,664.84.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And now, we're asking your approval of a grant application for a rifle resistance body armor grant through the governor's office.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments there, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Now the one you've been waiting for.
Thanks, Gilbert.
Yes, sir. I have a proposal to the court. I've noticed the past few times I've been here, there are several items that are brought by individual departments and elected offices for procurement type items. Our office seems to be playing catch up to validate the pricing on those items to make sure that they are being purchased in the proper way. So what I propose is moving forward and to expedite the process for the elected official or department head and for purchasing, and to give you the comfort that purchasing has reviewed these items, that those items be placed under the purchasing agent's agenda items.
I think it's great.
Like today, when they ordering these new Tahoes and stuff, that would come under your...
Yes, sir. Yeah. We would have already gone through
idea.
The process.
Yep. I think that's a great idea.
Great. And, you know, in the past, we've been requested to have the department heads come forward and make sure the funding is available first. Would you handle all that in that same process?
If funding is available, if it's in their budget, this may be an extraordinary situation. You're funding things out of contingency that should be in the budget. But typically, these are budgeted items. If it's not a budgeted item, the department head, I'll drag them along if I can get them.
Good.
If I can get them here.
Good.
Sounds great.
That's good.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Any opposed?
Thank you, Gilbert.
Motion carries. Thank you, Gilbert. Good job. Okay, we now need to recess our commissioner's court and convene a public hearing for precincts 1, 2, and 3. For precinct 1, Commissioner.
Consider and approve partial revision of a 0.454-acre tract of land in Walden on Lake Conroe, Section 15A, to be known as Walden on Lake Conroe, Section 15A, replat number 1. Is there anybody here today to discuss this item? I don't believe we have anybody, Judge.
Okay. Precinct 2.
Consider and approve establishing a no-parking zone on the northwest side of Ivy Green Street, and to make Ivy Green Garden Street a one-way street with the direction of travel from Trellis Gate to Lattice Gate. Judge, I believe we got some folks here who want to discuss that. Steve?
Steve?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Judge. Good morning, everyone. My name is Steve Lakey, and I'm in Precinct 2. I'm here representing the Cottage Green Homeowners Association, of which I'm honored to serve as president. I want to introduce several of my colleagues that are here. Charlie Beeman, Suzanne Horn-Davies, and Audrey Biddy. If you'd stand up, ladies, I'd certainly appreciate your being here. I know we also have some neighbors who are with us, some in support and some not in support of what we're here to talk about this morning. We certainly welcome them here as well. Again, here to discuss item 24B1. As everyone in this room knows that's familiar with the Woodland Street, parking is an ongoing issue, has been for years. Periodic notices in papers in the Woodlands magazine and so forth. More specifically, in our neighborhood, which is fairly unique in that it has alleyways, rear entry garages on a number of streets, divided boulevards with center medians and so forth, that were frankly designed initially a little bit on the narrow side, but they're there, and we're having to deal with it. So our board and my predecessor boards have been dealing with street parking for a variety of reasons: access of vehicles, emergency vehicles, street parking, guest parking. We've had to install a lot of rocks on a lot of the center medians and the corners because people cut the corners and get up on the grass and those kind of things. So we've been addressing it over a number of years for a variety of different reasons. The thing that was unique this year is when we were in the midst of talking about the subject, we were contacted by the officers at the Woodlands Fire Department Station 4, which is located in Alden Bridge, which is about 2 miles or less from our neighborhood, addressing a number of issues that they had said they had experienced over the years. So we went over to the precinct, over to the Station 4 office, met with that shift. The whole shift was there, like five firemen, discussing a number of issues. The ones that came up particularly were as follows. Top priority was we have one street that's very unique, and that is Ivy Garden, where there is parking on both sides. There are no garage entrances on any of those houses. And people from time to time park on both sides of the street going both ways. And occasionally it's total blocked. And the fire department said over the years that's been a difficulty that they have faced. The second thing they mentioned was at the corners of our neighborhood, there's difficulty in turning those corners because people park close to the corners. The third thing they mentioned is we have tree overhangs that damage their equipment. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I just want to let you know that we have those three issues that we're working. They identified the Ivy Garden problem as the most severe. We then contacted Commissioner Riley's office. Commissioner Riley and two of his team, Rick Wong and Don
Dean,
came over and spent an hour or so walking through our neighborhood, and I've never seen anybody use their measuring tape as effectively as Rick Wong. He was everywhere measuring curb distances and all that kind of stuff and getting all the data that he needed.
Sounds like Rick.
Made good use of his measuring tape, believe me. In the process of visiting with them, they took all the numbers, all the maps. We then had a follow-up meeting over at the precinct office and, again, identified those three categories as something we needed to work on, and that the Ivy Garden project was particularly important because from time to time there is complete blockage. And so we agreed to submit to the court the idea of making it completely a one-way street with parking on the right side only to eliminate parking on both sides. We reviewed that plan and the document that you have in front of you with the Commissioner's Court, or with the Precinct 2 Commission, with the Woodlands Fire Department people, up through Chief Benson, with Sheriff Henderson's people that are responsible for patrol in the Woodlands to make sure that we were on track. And the document that you see in front of you is what we used as a working document to communicate to our residents. Subsequent to that approval, we posted it on our website. We mailed it to every homeowner. We actually gave everybody a heads up in our June board meeting that this was a project underway. We then conducted a door-to-door survey or communication process actually a week ago Monday. Happy to report that 80 or 90% of the people were home. 80 or 90% of the people were in favor of this initiative. We received two written documents expressing disagreement with this approach for a variety of reasons. The main concern that seemed to have been raised was the potential for having, if it's one way, the risk of speeding on the left side. And I suspect one of our visitors this morning who appears to have brought her family with her, I'm guessing that may be one of her major concerns, but that was addressed, and that's something that we want to address with Commissioner Riley if the board approves, or if the court approves this initiative, that we be particularly sensitive to that issue as well. We think we've done this right. There have been residents who have questioned, is this really something the board should address? And my answer to that would be, if I'm called by the fire department and said, we've got problems in your neighborhood, I'm going to talk to them.
Yeah.
And whether that's my jurisdiction or not, I'm going to work on that, and our board has done that unanimously. That's why we're working with this court. That's why we're working with Commissioner Riley's office to do something that we think will make a difference.
Thank you.
Any questions?
This is basically the biggest issue is a safety issue, is that, as you see it?
Safety is the primary vehicle thing, but we've had difficulties from aesthetics and guest parking because it's all taken up by residents parking on the street, but that has nothing specifically to do with this particular request. But yes, the primary thing is safety.
It's safety, and it's delivery of packages, it's mail, it's a little bit of everything on that street.
Yeah,
it's all tied together.
But I want to thank Commissioner Riley's office and his team for working with us very thoroughly.
Good.
Any questions?
Good. Thank you for your comments. Well,
thanks,
done.
Gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the court on this issue? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I am that family. I would have liked to have been able to discuss with them, but I've actually never met them except for Audrey, who's really nice. So I haven't had the pleasure of meeting them until they came knocking at my door. And so I did bring some notes. The residents, which I do have signatures for some of the residents, a lot of them from Ivy Garden, mm-hmm. actually all of them are from Ivy Garden Street. So he mentioned 80 to 90%. I don't know what those statistics are, but I do have signatures for people who were not able to come this morning because they had to work, and we just got the knock on the door on the 14th, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to discuss it. So myself and other neighbors from Ivy Garden Street oppose this because a one-way street is less safe and more dangerous, particularly to the children and elderly. We do have seniors, grandparents, and lots of children on our street that like to play on the sidewalk, and once in a while, a ball will roll out, and our pets could get hit, too. Ivy Garden Street, by design, forces traffic to slow down. It's important to know that most drivers vary car speed, not posted speed limits by visual cues. I happened to be standing in front of my street just this weekend. Actually, it wasn't this weekend. It was Friday when I was talking to another neighbor. And by coincidence, there were only three cars parked on the street that day. And a construction guy came flying around the corner and just came down the street really fast. I didn't even get a chance to, like, try to wave to him and tell him to slow down. And then he stopped and he spoke to some other person on the corner and then left. So he wasn't paying any attention. And when you do weave in and out, you're likely to slow down. Delivery vehicles, sometimes it's teenagers. Construction workers, landscapers, and more are likely to speed on Ivy Garden and are less and have less visibility of pedestrians or children that are playing if they have an unimpeded flow of traffic. The street parking of Ivy Garden really provides many benefits. We like having, I like seeing cars on the street. It makes me feel safe. You know, like he mentioned, our parking is in the back. I rarely park in the front, personally. I do have space on my driveway. It's tiny, but I have space. And I do appreciate knowing that my neighbors are home and that I can see them, especially when they're solicitors. And since I'm home most of the day, I see all of that activity. So it makes me feel safe. And that's one of the reasons I chose to live in this neighborhood 6 years ago, was because we could park on the street. I do have lots of guests that come. I ask them to park on the same street, not to block, so emergency vehicles can get by. So I would have liked to have been able to communicate with my neighbors, more of them. Some of them are out of town, so we could talk and try to fix whatever's upsetting the rest of the neighborhood. But most of us on Ivy Garden Street are opposing this, and I do have signatures if you need them.
How long is the street?
How long? There's maybe 22 houses. They're all close together.
It's 800 feet, probably.
Yeah, I never saw anyone measuring or...
Okay. And how wide is the right-of-way?
It's 20-foot street is what it is.
Yeah.
20-foot wide. The street's 20-foot wide. It's about 800 foot long, 20 feet wide.
I'm not really good at measurements, so I couldn't tell you.
I wish Rick was here. Is Rick not here?
Is the recommendation, is there no parking signs going up as well? Or if it's just one way, how does that keep people from parking on both sides of the road?
We'll have no parking signs on the left side of the road.
Okay, so there will be. I didn't see if that was on.
One side of the road will have no parking sign.
I have two other neighbors that live across the street from us, and I think they have some valid points to bring up.
Okay.
If you'd like to hear them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can you give those petitions to these ladies right here? There you go. Thank you.
Hi there. My name is Joe Templett. I actually own two houses on Ivy Garden. Lived in 119 Ivy Garden for 14 years now. Part of the concern is the board never contacted anyone on the street. We got an email July 28th with a quick letter saying that they were approached and that this is on the agenda. Here, this is first we heard about it. August 10th, we received the exact same letter in the mail. On August 14th, they did go door to door and they presented the letter and they discussed with the people who were home. Unfortunately, that particular night, I had family commitments and was not there to talk to them and discuss it. I know since then, I have talked to a bunch of the neighbors and they are not in favor of it. Matter of fact, I sent a text to one of my neighbors who's off on a vacation, and his comment was, it's a bunch of bull. And so he's totally against it. He did not talk to the members because him and his family are off on vacation. Like I said, no notice. Even the last quarterly meeting, the only thing that was said was, they're looking into it. No details. No one's been not telling us. Fire department had contacted them, not telling us they had contacted Commissioner Riley's office, nothing along that line. And this is, like I said, I lived on this in this neighborhood 14 years now. 10 years of it, either me or my wife have served on that board. And she just got off less than about 6 months ago. And up to that point, there was just some discussion, people asking what could be done, nothing else. But even she knew nothing about the fire department contacting or anything along that line. As a matter of fact, so little information that when the Chronicle Courier printed up their article in the paper, there was more information in here than any of the residents on Ivy Garden got. Even according to... It quotes Steve Leakey as saying that they're working with the precinct's office, the fire department, and the sheriff's office. That is absolutely the first time I personally heard anything of this, and none of the neighbors I have talked to had even heard of this. So, not saying it's a bad idea, but we would like the opportunity to talk to the different people, the fire department, the sheriff's department, the county engineer, and all this, before a decision is made about our street that none of the board members live on. They all live on one street in particular, but the whole neighborhood has problems all the way around with parking and people parking on the street. But all they've gone after is this one street. We would, like I said, we'd like to discuss this street and the whole neighborhood with everyone that's been involved at this point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court?
Hello. My name is Amy Paul, and I live on Ivy Garden in 27. I wasn't expecting to speak today, but I was just coming to support. I appreciate the board and what they have done for the research. I personally have seen the fire truck have to back its way out of our road. It was able to make it to the house it was trying to go to that day. Had it been my house, it would not have made it there. It had to go. It was one further. And we also used to have a student on our street that required a bus that to come to their house to pick them up, and this was 10 years ago when I first moved in there, and that bus couldn't always make it, so that mom was always trying to get that street to be one way. They've since moved, so that's not a problem as of today, but it had been a problem in the past. So I appreciate what they've done. I realize that I could go to the board meetings. I have not particularly been to them, but I trust the research that they have done and the people that they have talked to, and so I support the choice that they've made.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me first recognize, let's see if there's anyone else. Did anyone else want to say anything? Mr. Leckie?
Could I do real quick clarification?
Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Judge, and I certainly appreciate the input from my friends and neighbors on both sides of this question. You will note on the document that is in front of you, we do in fact talk about the Sheriff's Department and the Fire Department in meetings with them, and the priorities that we got from them as the basis of this. That was posted on our website. That was included in the direct mail to every house. That was included in the door-to-door campaign, of course, that we had with the residents there. If we need testimonial or whatever, that as we visited with those people, the vast majority were positive and thanked us for what we were doing. That may have been turned around, I don't know, but they were positive about what we were doing that thanked us. So for the record, we've tried to make as timely as we can. As soon as we got approval from the verbiage, for the verbiage from all of the authorities at hand, to get that in the hand of the residents, and they all know how to notify us anytime. But again, they're good neighbors. I love them, and I'm glad they were able to make it today. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Something else that needs to be considered is we have looked at other situations. This is just the first of probably three or four recommendations that Rick Wong has made. So we want to take this in steps. So we are looking at the other streets, and we are looking at other sections of the neighborhood.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Templet. The board has done a great job. I don't want to take anything away from them. I think the problem here is we're kind of getting it, we're all of a sudden in a hearing. And it would have been nice to have had some of this stuff already brought up. You know, this is what we're doing. Notify us. He says on website, he says we have email. At any point in time, he could have said, hey, homeowners, wanted to let you know. Fire department's contacted us. We're going to be in touch with them. We're not sure what we're going to be discussing. As we have brought up, there are several streets in our neighborhood to discuss, not just Ivy Garden. So it would have just been nice to have heads up they were working on it. You know, going to meetings and saying, we're looking into this, is not saying what you're doing. And all of a sudden, we're at a hearing. And as we said, the first letter, 728, came out in email, and half the residents didn't open it. And if you talk to our management company, they do not have everyone's email. And so then you go to, you know, 8:14, all of a sudden, we're knocking on doors and making sure everybody has that email, that everybody knows there's a hearing. But where was the information prior to it coming to y'all? That's all we want. Communicate with us. Let us know what's happening. And we probably all could have sat down and worked this out and then come to y'all and said, hey, we're thinking this might be a good idea. And if there's other options out there, we certainly would love to hear what they are besides just this one. This is our street. We love it. We neighbors work together. We're not the ones complaining. The complaints are coming for a lot outside of our street. And it's influencing a whole lot. But it's dividing a neighborhood. It's dividing a street. So if they could just communicate before they take it to these steps, that would be really nice.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Sheriff, are you aware at all of any of the conversations that went on? I'm sure one of your deputies is probably involved. Do you have any firsthand knowledge?
As for firsthand knowledge, no, sir, I don't. I'm sure that our community policing deputies are the ones that have conversation. I'm familiar with the street. They built it when I was a patrolman in the Woodlands. It's been a little while, but it's a unique situation. It's a front porch neighborhood is what it is. So it has rear entry. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. Has rear entry garages. So that it is supposed to be traveled. But if we've got cars that are blocking the thoroughfare, then we've got issues, and it's certainly something that we need to get rectified by some means. So I support that. Now, Windsor Hills is also a one-way neighborhood, so we see that, and we see the problems that creates when you do that. If you live right there on the end of that long circle, there's a lot of people that break the law and will go left so they can get there, or so they see a parking spot, they'll go to the clubhouse instead of driving around. So sometimes whenever you create one rule, you create other problems. But so, you know, I don't have much information on this other than what I've read publicly, and it's certainly something I think does need to be addressed. And I commend Steve Lakey and the board for taking an active role, and I hope that the residents get the information that they need from that board, because that's what it's all about, is getting that information to those that are affected. So that's all I have to offer.
Right. Thank you, Sheriff.
Judge, Commissioners, my name is Audrey. I'm also on the HOA board. I just want to make two clarifications to some of the dates and comments made over here. One of our board members who are not present today does live on Ivy Garden and does support this effort, and she's given back feedback from her neighbors directly with some good feedback as well, that they're all in favor. And then also with contacting the residents, on June 7th, we did send an initial letter out that commented that this was something just a friendly reminder to park on the right side of the street, allowing traffic, and then also that we were working with the commissioner's office going forward. So that was one piece of communication that was regarding this incident sent out to our residents. And then also, we also have another form of communication on our Facebook page, and it's a resident run. There's no HOA influence at all on that. The residents on Ivy Garden, outside of Ivy Garden, have commented over the years that I've lived there for 5 years. Just, you know, friendly reminder again, posting pictures of what it doesn't, you know, doesn't look good. So there are other ways of communicating that the residents communicate with each other regarding this issue. But just the one clarification, there was an email. It's on our, Carolyn's right, not all of the email addresses for our residents are with our management company. They're given directions how to sign up for it, but it is a voluntary thing. They're not obligated to give out their information. So that was emailed out, and also is posted on the website. And all the subsequent letters after that have been same way, and we've also linked it on our Facebook page as of these last couple of communications. So people who don't have the email address but follow our Facebook page and are active on it also have that as well. So just want the clarification on that real quick.
Thank you.
Commissioner, for my own clarification, this is wanting to make this a one-way street,
mm-hmm.
and have parking, street parking on one side but not on the left side.
Correct. Correct. Okay. That's the recommendation from Rick Wong through his survey, through his study. And with the fire chief, the sheriff's deputies.
5 minutes, Judge.
Are we at the end of the desk?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to let you know the tape is running out.
Okay. How much? You need to stop right now?
We've got a few more minutes.
All right, we have.
I can be fast on mine.
We have 5 minutes, so. Okay. Any other comments from the audience on this particular issue? Okay. Next item.
Consider and approve the partial revision of lots 4 and 5, block 4, Ridge Lake Shore, section 2, amending the plat number 1 to be known as replat of lots 4 and 5, Ridge Lake Shore, section 2, amending plat 1. Anybody here to discuss that?
I'm the property owner. I'm here to answer any questions
you may have. Is there anyone else?
Comment on the architectural committee in Ridge Lake Shore. We have no objection.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
Consider to approve the partial revision of Reserve B of Foster's Ridge, Section 9, to be known as Foster's Ridge, Section 9, partial replat number 1. Anybody here to discuss that?
Seeing none, Precinct 3.
Consider and approve posting 20-mile-per-hour speed limit sign on Acorn Oak Drive. No comments. Consider and approve naming a driveway Rayford Bend and a proposed spur off of this driveway Rayford Park Road as requested by Montgomery County Emergency Communication District. Any comments? Nope.
Okay. Do we need action on all these items, Speedy?
How long?
We still got?
Okay. I do not believe that the plat is ready for approval on B3, the revision of Foster Ridge. Other than that, action can be taken on the others.
Move on all but B3.
I second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Motion's carry. All right, commissioners, let's adjourn our public hearing, reconvene our commissioners' court, and take a 5-minute recess while they change the district.
So close.
Easy.
Let's bring the court back to order, please. All right, commissioners, we're going to have to go back and revisit one item here. We've made that vote before we adjourned the public hearing and went back and reconvened court. So we'll need another motion on the items.
Move all but B3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. County engineer. Precinct 1. Oh, that was that
like
part
it's
of that?
Pretty much the same thing.
Was that part of that what was in there?
Yeah, and he said B2 wasn't ready. Yeah.
B2 wasn't ready. Okay. All right. Commissioners, Precinct 3.
Consider and approve the grant application to Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, for the ATC Traffic Cabinet Upgrade LIP grant in the amount of $76,250.32 with a match of $90,370.68 from Precinct 3. Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Is that for your traffic signals? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Precinct 4.
Consider and discuss and take appropriate action on requesting Sheriff Rand Henderson to prepare a proposal for non-consent towing policy and rules and regulations to present to the Commissioner's Court for consideration at a future date. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Sheriff, you're good with that, I take it?
Yes, sir.
You excited about that?
I just okay. Couldn't leave it alone.
All right.
I think he wants.
It's going to be a good thing.
Well, our current ordinance is, you know, dealing with non-consent towing is the CHIP method. So we're looking, we've got legislation now that governs the ability to do the non-consent towing. As far as I'm concerned, and speaking with my captains, we're all kind of the jury's out on this. So hopefully what we're going to do is we're going to present to you something that we think is tenable for law enforcement that works best. I think after, you know, having read through this thing and seeing some of the rules that are placed on the record drivers, it's there's some interference with free enterprise there. I think if we can whittle down some of the regulations that we have, that's one of our goals for sure. And just try to get a fair and equitable system for all records. I know it's been the small record drivers versus the large record drivers. So I don't promise you that I'm going to come back with something that you might call a rotation tow system. Hopefully we can keep on the table a hybrid version, which has been presented that looked like it was an option worth exploring. So, but what I will do is come back to you with something, and hopefully it will meet your standards, and we'll move forward with that ordinance. Because it's not a policy. It is a true county ordinance.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Our next item is citizens' comment for anyone that would like to address the court on an item that's not on today's agenda. Is there anyone that would like to? Yes, sir. Same rules apply. 3 minutes. We can't respond, but are glad to hear your comments today. If you'd state your name and the reason you're here, please. Thank you.
My name is James Nelson. I live in Precinct 2. I've lived here approximately a little over a year. And I just wanted to come up here and tell you what I've observed in Montgomery County while I've been here. I'll tell you a little bit of background about me. I'm retired Army. I'm first sergeant for 11 years. So honesty and integrity are very important to me. And that is the ruler that I judge everybody's actions on. I don't care who you are. That's what I'm going to judge it on. The first thing I noticed when I came over here was they were had this open and closed meeting fiasco going on. And I immediately recognized it for what it is. It is the same tactics that the leftists use over in Travis County to discourage any conservatives from running for office. I think it's dishonest. I still think it's dishonest, and I think that it was wrong. And I promise you that that is going to be an issue for anybody running in the precinct too. If it's wrong, it's wrong. That's going to be an issue. I've also observed that it seems to me that there's a problem with Montgomery County, how it's run as a county. I think there's a lot of dishonesty going on countywide. And I would like y'all to take a look at that. And I say that I thank you for this and thank you for your time.
Thank Mr. You. Nelson? Anyone else that would like to address court on an item that was not on today's agenda? Mr. O'Sullivan.
Since the budget office was an open item, this should not be an additional expense to the taxpayers. We have a treasurer's race in March. I'm sure that the candidates will have their own plans for how to solve the situation, and we should let them do it. The budget belongs under the treasurer and not the auditor. The budget staffing would necessarily move from the auditor to the treasurer, which would preclude the need for additional expense. The budget director would be a clerk operating at the direction of the treasurer instead of another overpaid bureaucrat. Manage the bureaucracy, don't just build it. I'd also like to commend the animal shelter on the wise choices for their funds. The x-ray machine has been needed and sought for a while. The small cages will assist in the battle against parvo, which is a notorious killer of puppies, and it can spread like wildfire if you don't have your small dog or puppy area kept very clean. And it's difficult to do with the cage system they have now, and this new cage system is going to prevent a lot of that. So they've done an exceptional job with the use of the money. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bill. Any other individuals that would like to address court on an item that was not on today's agenda? Okay. Commissioners, anything else from the court?
We adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.